It's time for another edition of Dome and Domer, the only podcast for Notre Dame fans by Notre Dame fans. If you're looking for cogent analysis and unbiased opinions backed by careful reporting, you've come to the wrong place. For the next 20 minutes or so, you'll get a fan's perspective on the Fighting Irish without all the normal spin from the so-called professional analysts. It's Dome and Domer. Now, here are your hosts, Mike Brammer and Ed Jordanis.
Hello, Irish fans, and welcome to another edition of Dome and Domer. My name is Mike Brammer. Joining me, Ed Jordanis. Also joining us from IndyNation.com, Mike Coffey. Ed, you know, contrary to popular belief, I swear to God, I never once said that I would not do another Dome and Domer show until Notre Dame played some good football worthy of discussing. But the truth of the matter is, you know, I got to be honest with you. Personally, myself, I'm really happy right now. The season could have been completely flushed after the Pittsburgh game. You got a team that, after that loss, fell out of the BCS. We're talking Notre Dame. What's there to play for when there's no chance of even being in the BCS after losing two games? And, you know, give a lot of credit to Brian Kelly, his staff, but also the players. And I think this is a lot of stuff that gets lost is, you know, you got to remember, these are young kids that there's a football team out there. There's a bunch of guys playing for each other, and this was senior day. They could have easily gone out there and laid an egg. And I think had they done that, everybody would have been like, well, you know, they lost to Pittsburgh. They're out of the BCS. There's no incentive to play, blah, blah, blah. And yet they went out there and executed. So give them credit for that. I got to be honest with you. I was happy after the game.
Yeah. You know, I think there's always two ways to look at it. And the first is exactly what you articulated. This is a team that, had a key injury early in the game, went into the game pretty beat up, was playing a team that, had definitely some firepower, a team that probably played us straight up last year, and we were fairly fortunate to win, coming off a bad loss. And, we stepped up, played well. As Mike Bray would say, we played like men. that's the glass half full. Gives us a little momentum going into Saturday when we'll be playing for the Pac-12 championship in Palo Alto. And so can't take anything away from these guys. Really love the way that they stepped up. Couldn't be happier for Tommy especially, and for all the seniors. And I think it's a sign of a pretty good program and good cohesion when it really means something to the freshmen, sophomores, and juniors to really want to send the seniors out on a high note. And this senior class should get a lot of credit for coming in and being very instrumental in turning this football program around and laying the groundwork for some years ahead. Not to mention the fact that they're always going to be overlooked, that the fact that they played for a national championship. Because of the score against Alabama and because of this really being basically the decade of Alabama, they're going to be a little bit of a footnote kind of on that Alabama roll. But they played for national championship and went undefeated in the regular season, which we're learning every year in college football is incredibly difficult to do. Now, the flip side is it just really just boggles the mind and just pisses you off to no end that they lost to Pittsburgh because, you know, that was a game should have been won, that was handed to the Panthers. And it also really makes you scratch your head in terms of what kind of philosophy did the coaches go into this season with? Because it seems to me that with a Tommy Reese, and of course hindsight's a little bit 20/20, but with a Tommy Reese, with a stellar offensive line that's a deep offensive line that's kind of proven itself all year that they can protect the quarterback and run block when they're given the opportunity, you know, how did it take so long to come up with, you know, a kind of a pregame, halftime, and postgame speech about this is Notre Dame football, this is how we play it? You know, why wasn't that the message from day one? Why wasn't this a run-first, play-action team? And again, does that mean we would have beaten Michigan and Oklahoma? Does that mean we still wouldn't have two or three losses? Maybe not. Maybe they would have been to other teams. But it just seems to me that, you know, starting the season with a playbook of 20 plays that we executed the hell out of. And, you know, we're 60-40, 70-30 running the ball until we kind of found Terry and Fulston or, you know, Cam McDaniel or some combination. I just, you know, it, really looking back, it just kind of irks you because you're kind of like, what did it took an awful, you know, kind of a brain fart performance by both coaches and players against Pittsburgh to kind of say, oh, wait, this is who we are. You know, this is really who we are.
Yeah.
So that's a little, I don't want to take anything away from what they did last Saturday. I'm encouraged about what could happen this Saturday, even though I think, you know, Stanford is pretty tough and we really are playing shorthanded. But it is a little bit frustrating when you look back and you see three really winnable games, that I think, you know, listen, I'm a huge, you know, huge Brian Kelly fan. And I think, you know, we are very, very fortunate that he's at the helm. But you really kind of wonder, like, what was the mindset going into this year and what did they think that we had? And, you know, why did we continue to try and pound Tommy Reese's round peg into a square hole? And why didn't we kind of come in with a mindset of, you know, we're going to pound teams and, you know, and then we're going to own, you know, the second half of the third quarter and the fourth quarter every single weekend and have a chance to win.
I'm with you there. I agree with you. I think everybody can second guess. It's easy
sure,
to do
especially
that.
Especially when our defense is definitely not
yeah,
worse.
It really is. There's been a lot of things to it being kicked out of the game early. I mean, there's just so many things that go into a game that it's really hard to say. I guess, you know, you start out the second half of Pittsburgh, you're up 14-7, and then you run the ball four times in the second half. I think it's only fair that Notre Dame fans would question, okay, what was exactly the, you know, mindset going into the rest of that half?
The underrated side effect of running the ball in the second half is that you might not get two interceptions.
I know. I think it's easy to sit here and say that, you know, in hindsight.
Sure.
The truth is, you know, we don't know what goes on in practice. We don't know what works in practice, what doesn't. We don't know the mindset of, you know, guys that see players, you know, coaches that see players execute in practice and then go into a game and think, all right, you know, I know what I saw in practice all week long. Therefore, I got to be, you know, honest with my assessment of what I think what's going to work. But, you know, having said all that, Coffee, at the beginning of the year, you were the one that said that, you know, 9-3 is a possibility and it wouldn't surprise you. Granted, we may not get there the way that we thought, but heading into this Stanford game, I mean, if Notre Dame does win it, we're exactly where you thought. Is that consistent with what you've seen so far, or what's the difference between your original prediction and where we're at right now?
Well, I think
now,
the key difference is, you know, I thought this could definitely be a 9 or 10 win team. I think that, yes, missing Everett Golson would be difficult, but there's a difference between losing him on the first play of scrimmage in the first game and losing him 4 months beforehand when you have time to put some together. And I'm definitely in Ed's court here where, you know, you really are wondering what the plan was. But the key difference to me and the thing, and I'll reiterate what Ed said, it's just so frustrating when you look back on the games they did lose, how frustrating it is, because they were winnable games. The same team that laid an egg against Pittsburgh went down to Dallas and beat a tough Arizona State team. And the same team that just completely lost, gave up their lunch money to Michigan, took it to Michigan State, and they're still Michigan State's only loss. So as much as people will say, well, you know, you expected 9-3, what are you complaining about? It's like, yeah, but you have to take the opportunities when they're given, and it's frustrating to me that this team could be playing for a BCS berth on Saturday if they had taken care of business against at least one of two really undermatched teams whose losses are looking almost worse every week, and I just find that frustrating.
Yeah, no, I would agree with you. I I mean, believe me, it's kind of frustrating, obviously, from a Notre Dame fan's perspective to look at, okay, we beat Arizona State, we beat Michigan State, we beat USC, and all three of those guys are ranked ahead of us. And the reason they're ranked ahead of us is because we lost to Pittsburgh. We lost. You know, Oklahoma, I knew going into that game that was going to be a tough one only because Stoops is such a good coach and he had a week off prior to the game. I just knew that was going to be a tough game.
And still, we played them straight up after we spotted them, two touchdowns.
We did. You know, you spot them 14 points. After that point, it was a straight-up game. You're right. That could have gone either way. So, yeah, I'm frustrated with that, but, you know, it is what it is. It's kind of life. You know, as Coffey said, I mean, what would have happened had we had Everett Golson this year? And I think a lot of people would argue, you know what? Hey, maybe two of those losses turn into wins, and I'm going to flat out say that I don't think we lose to Pittsburgh with Golson, not because Tommy threw two interceptions, but because mostly that Golson has that ability to make up for his mistakes because he can scramble, because he can improvise, because he's not a one-dimensional quarterback. And I think that the college game today, it's pretty obvious that a quarterback that can scramble is just a huge amount of pressure on the defense that, you know, it's just something you can't simulate. I mean, it's a
big deal.
You know,
I will say this, though, that unlike last year, I would say that in, you know, I don't know about maybe not every game, but I think in just about – you know, I'd probably have to go back and look at it again and examine it more carefully. But the fact of the matter is that I actually think that our offense played well enough in every game this year to win every game this year. The real letdown for this team, and again, it's improved lately, but, you know, the real letdown this year was the defense. And, you know, again, it's coming around, but, you know, defense and special teams. I mean, I think if you had to grade the three phases of the game, you know, I think you'd have to rank the offense first, the defense second, and special teams third. Because, you know, defensively, we did not stop a team after we scored a touchdown this year. Every single time we took the ball into the end zone, creating some momentum for ourselves, we gave up either a long kickoff return and a 50-yard drive for a touchdown or an 85-yard drive for a touchdown. You know, our tackling has been spotty at best. And also injuries played a role. You know, Nix and Day, you know, were on the field for something like 11 plays the whole year or something crazy like that. You know, Ishak hasn't played in a month. Jarrett Grace, you know, down and out, you know, for the count. Barati never played a down. Danny Spond, you know, we forget him so quickly, but he was a rock last year. And, you know, just being able to, not that Jalen Smith hasn't had a great year, but, you know, having those two guys available to play just makes you that much better. So, you know, I think really when we look back maybe a month from now and really kind of analyze the season, it's going to be some defensive shortcomings. You know, we always tend to look at the offense because that's Brian Kelly's calling card. The quarterback gets a lot of attention. The Golson dismissal gets a lot of attention. But this was a decent chunk of the year. You know, we did not get off to a good start defensively, you know, with the exception of Kyle Brinza, who continues to be money, and an improved punt return team. You know, we give up way too many return yards, that in close games without a large margin of error. They've cost us, and they've cost us dearly against Michigan, against Oklahoma, and against Pittsburgh, the three games that we've lost so far.
Yeah, and I think you're right about that. I mean, especially when, you know, here we are, we built some momentum, we kick off to them. at least to me, you know, in watching games this year, every year where I'm thinking, okay, just keep them inside the 30, they break some sort of long run to the 40, 45, or even 50-yard line. And, you know, the Navy game, I mean, you name it, you go down the list, and it seems like every damn time we gave up some sort of
the thing that's frustrating,
huge...
you know, I don't know a hell of a lot about football, but that's coaching. Because,
yeah,
because
I agree.
You're basically
lining up
11, you know, on a whole, you're lining up 10 better athletes almost every Saturday than the 10 that are down there to receive the ball. Maybe not, you know, collectively, there is, we don't have it on the field, but I think we do. We have talented guys and they're just not being coached up on kick coverage.
And I think it's discipline. It's discipline. But, you know, Coffee, what do you, heading into this game, I mean, obviously you look at the situation and, yeah, you know, it would have been nice had Stanford been undefeated or even maybe Stanford with the one loss. You know, now Stanford's got two losses and, I can hear it already. If Notre Dame loses, it's, well, you know, Stanford's in the upper echelon, Notre Dame isn't, that's why they lost. If Notre Dame wins, it's, well, Stanford's not, that they were never really truly in the upper echelon, and that's what it is. I mean, how much do you put on this game, and what does it really mean to the program moving forward?
Well, truth be told, I think that this is a good Stanford team. I don't think they're nearly as good as they were last year. I think they've had some good wins. They've also had some really head-scratching losses. I mean, this team managed to lose to Utah somehow, the same Southern Cal team that Notre Dame beat. So, I think they definitely have talent. I'm not necessarily sold on their coaching, and I think next year, to go off topic a second, I think next year for Stanford is going to be very interesting because I think I read somewhere that they're going to lose 18 of their 22 starters, or 15 of them, and another three of them have fifth-year eligibility. But you're seeing Harbaugh's influence truly working its way out of the program now, and now we're going to see what kind of a coach David Shaw is. Their recruiting classes the last few years have been a little bit eh. I'll be one of those people that I think Notre Dame going out to Stanford this weekend and winning, I think would be it would be a solid performance and something worthy of praise. I think saying that if Notre Dame wins, oh, Stanford's not that good, I don't think so. I think Stanford's a solid team. They're probably like on a par with, let's say, Michigan State. And I think going on the road to end the year as banged up as Notre Dame is and go out and win that game would be a solid achievement. Now, would it be a signature win? No, I don't think so. It would be a solid achievement and would kind of give me positive feelings going into that blockbuster Pinstripe Bowl matchup that we're looking at.
Yeah, I think the reason it'd be a good win is because if Notre Dame's going to win, you know, they're going to have to be mentally and physically tougher than Stanford. You know, it'll be one of those kinds of games, I think. You know, and that, I think, in itself would be, you know, a real achievement. Because Stanford plays a brand of football that, you know, Notre Dame's probably not going to, you know, trick them into, you know, it's not going to be a cheap win. I mean, Stanford very rarely beats itself.
I completely agree. Yeah. I completely agree. And as I said, I think it definitely would be it probably would be one of the best, if not the best win of Notre Dame's season this year. I think Stanford's a very solid team. I mean, they're not a top necessarily a top 10 team, but they're definitely a top 20 team. And if you go play a top 20 team on the road and you win, you've accomplished something. And I think there's no doubt in my mind about that. My only...
Well, they actually are a top 10 team. I mean, well, you may not think they are, but they're a top 10
right
team.
Now. So far, they think they're nine. I would say this. I really do think that, it's key from the standpoint of recruiting is all about where are you here and now, you know, so...
Well, look at Michigan's class falling apart, you know, so...
Yeah, I mean, I really think that, you know, as unfortunate as it is, we live in a world today where it's, what did you do for me last week? And it's unfortunate, it really is, but kids in the world that we live in today with Twitter and with Facebook and with, I mean, holy cow, man, the pressures of... You know, last week having an impact on lifelong decisions are huge, yeah. And it's sad. I'm with you 100%. I totally agree with that. But I wouldn't certainly downplay the importance of this game if Brian Kelly goes out there and wins that football game. As much as I really, and I'll be honest with you, I don't know about you guys, but I did not have a great feeling going into this football game on Saturday. I really didn't. I thought to myself, you know what? These guys lost to Pittsburgh. They had a week off where Kelly told his players, you know what? Don't even bother showing up at practice. Forget about it. Just take the week off. And part of me thought to myself, God, I wonder if, how much of that is, I'm so sick of you guys, I don't even want to see you. Just get out of here. I don't even want to see you guys. Yeah. I mean, would Alabama have ever done that? Would Georgia have ever done that? I mean, how many football programs in the top 25 would have said, you know what, guys, take the week off. I don't want to see you.
Well, they're pretty hurt. I mean, I was going to be able to see much of the game, so I was actually fairly confident that they would play well.
There you go. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, I was just thinking to myself, like, man, that's kind of strange. And immediately, you know, you tend to gravitate towards, holy cow, is the whole thing falling apart? But you got to give them credit for coming out and playing like they did against BYU at home, senior day. I mean, just they played a great football game. Couple minor mistakes, you know what I mean? But the truth is, you got to give them a lot of credit for the way that they played. And I think it says a lot about Brian Kelly. I'm sure that you guys are in the same boat. I'm not concerned at all. Is Brian Kelly the right guy? There's nothing that he's done at this point that has said that he's not. And so, therefore, I'm really happy with where things are at. I do think that, like any college football game, you're going on the road against a very good football team, and anything can happen. You know, we're going to have to see all the ball bounces. But, man, if they walk away from a win on Saturday, look out, because, I mean, that says a lot. If anything, you're going to see the Notre Dame fans come out and say, like, oh, my God, for Christ's sakes, why couldn't we have just done a little better in those three games?
Yeah, well, your point about recruiting is a good one because, Brian Kelly likes to say, well, listen, if a kid changes his mind about coming to Notre Dame or marks us off his list because we lost a single football game, then he's probably not, he's probably not our guy anyways. Well, that only goes so far because, you know, the really top-notch talent, the Max Redfields of the world, the Greg Bryants of the world, the Eddie Vanderdoes of the world, these are guys, you know, that do make decisions based on a 40-year decision. But there's a much larger component of that's just a pure football decision about where they're going to play, how much they're going to play, their relationship with the coaches, of course, and is this a program that develops players and wins games and competes for championships. So, yeah, you know, you can stub your toe once in a while, like Notre Dame did against Pittsburgh, but you better not even get close to making a habit of it, or you better not kind of play worse and almost worse and worse every week, you know, like Michigan's been doing and losing to, you know, people that if you're a Michigan person, you just can't believe that you're losing to and pretty much get thrashed by Michigan State. And expect to hang on to those five-star guys. You know, that's when they're going to start looking around. Any school can fall victim to that. So, yes, for that reason alone, Saturday's game might make the difference between, you know, one or two guys, saying this is a last season was not some kind of a fluke. And this is a team that's going to compete for championships in the next several years, and I want to be part of that.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with you. Cuffy, I'm going to let you close out the show tonight. I'm going to ask you point blank. I've watched two games so far. What do you think we're going to see as far as tournament potential for the basketball team?
I thought you were going to ask him when's Tom Knight finally going to turn it around. That is so funny. You are so predictable, Grammar. I've come to like know exactly where you're going when you set something up like that.
See the tee, be put ball put on the tee, and no, I think there's definitely some potential for this team. This team, for the most part, is is very young. The strong talent on the team is very young. I think we're seeing players like Beecham and Jackson kind of growing into their roles, and I really would like to see them continue to grow in the non-conference. I think this is going to be a little bit of a different season than Notre Dame fans are used to, because when Notre Dame was in the Big East, which really was just considered a complete buzzsaw, Mike Bray scheduled in the non-conference very lightly. I mean, yeah, they do the tournament, the one exempt tournament, and maybe the made-for-TV stuff, but when it came to the other non-conference games, you didn't see anyone of even remote quality because he felt he needed to build these wins up. Well, now you're bringing in teams like Indiana State and Santa Clara, who are decent. They're not the RPI killers that we've seen the last couple of years. These are teams that they're not great, but by the same token, they're not bad either. I mean, Delaware is supposed to be pretty good. I'm trying to think. There was another one of the North Dakota State, believe it or not, is actually not a bad team either. Then they're also going to be playing at Iowa, which is granted, it's for the Big Ten ACC Challenge, but for them to play true games.
Isn't Cornell usually pretty decent too, Mike? Or no?
These are teams like, instead of seeing teams like in the RPIs below like 275 or 300, we're now seeing teams like in the high hundreds, which are those are the teams you want in your non-conference, because those are the teams that when you get to the end of the year and your tournament resume is up there, your strength of schedule is up there for everyone to see. I mean, North Carolina lost a couple of days ago. I'm trying to remember who they lost to.
Belmont.
They lost to Belmont, and then they turn around and beat Kansas. So it's really kind of hard to put a label on this team. One thing I am confident of is they're going to be playing a lot better when they have to make that trip to BC, Miami, and Vatek in the end of the year. That's going to be a much better team, I think, than we're seeing right now.
Yeah, and I would agree with you. You know, I'm a Mike Bray fan in the regular season. I've got my doubts about him outside of that, but I think it's only safe to say that. But, you know, the truth is, I mean, at the end of this stink game, if I remember right, those guys started like 8 of 11 from 3-point. I mean, it was just ridiculous what they did. And any time, it doesn't matter who you face, when a team gets hot like that, I mean, forget about it. It's just going to happen. But I do like the fact that, you know, this is Mike Bray's, 12th season with us. The guys that he's got are at least he's got some leadership at the highest level on the team that's then going to bring these younger guys along. And, you know, give him credit for what he does. They do play well. I mean, the guys tend to be pretty solid. They don't get too rattled in big situations, and so I'm number one. I'm really thrilled about the whole ACC challenge. I really do think that's a great move for us. As much as I liked being in the Big East, and I liked how, you know, Bray was incredibly successful in the Big East, I think he's very capable of doing the same thing in the ACC. I really do. I think it's a great move.
Oh, I agree.
That's going to go down as one of my favorite all-time Brammer quotes. I'm a big Mike Bray fan in the regular season.
In the regular season. my concern about the program right now is for the first time in a very, very long time, there are no Notre Dame alumni playing in the NBA. There are no one who attended Notre Dame is on an NBA roster this season, and this goes back. I think you got to go back to like the 60s.
Yeah,
it's been a long, long time. I mean, even in the bad days of John McLeod, we still had we had Fonz out there, we had Pat Garrity out there, and then I think Notre Dame needs to take a long, hard look at this program, because I mean, as good of a job as I think Mike Bray's doing with what he's been given, there are some things he does need to do better, and there's some things that Notre Dame needs to do better. And Notre Dame needs to, like I said, sit down and say, do we want to have a top-flight basketball program? Because everybody's complaining about, oh, the students don't attend and the crowds are bad. Well, the students don't attend and the crowds are bad because the vibe they get from Notre Dame is, we don't care. As long as the players graduate and stay off the police blotter and we get into the tournament, maybe not necessarily win a game, as long as we're there, we're happy. And the administration may be happy about that, but the students aren't necessarily happy about that, and the fans aren't necessarily happy about that. And so Notre Dame needs to decide whether or not they're going to take the next step. If they want to keep things going the way they are, fine. Don't complain that there's not a lot of people coming to the games then.
Yeah, I mean, there's some truth to that. It's well, I think this will be a telltale sign this year as to how they do. And you know, there's some, again, the good news is, for at least for Mike Bray, he's got some talent coming in, so they're reloading. Mm-hmm. It's not like he doesn't have the guys coming in. You know, as far as my knocks against him as a tournament coach, I mean, 11 years and we've got one Sweet 16 appearance. I mean, that pretty much says it. Although, in defense to him, you know, it's college basketball is about as unpredictable as it gets. And I certainly
don't
want to
knock
the guy.
It's also about as sleazy as you can even imagine. I mean,
yeah, I mean, I'm with you. You can't really knock what Mike Bray has done. I mean, holy cow, he's had some ridiculous regular seasons. You look at his you know, he by far is what, the best coach that's ever coached at Notre Dame. I don't think you can argue that. All indifference to Digger Phelps, but you know, Mike Bray has put up numbers that nobody else has.
Yeah, but but you know, think about it though. I mean, it's a sport that's measured by your performance in March. I mean, that it just
it is.
I mean,
yeah,
nobody gave a damn how many. Do you know how many games Butler lost in the regular season the last 5 years?
No.
Well, yeah, but I mean, exactly. Nobody cares, but they know that, you know.
That's right.
But Brad Stevens got a job with the Celtics because he won in March. Now, a couple of those teams that made it to the Final Four came close to losing double digits during the regular season. I know that for sure. You know, one of them did. Last year's team, I think, lost 10 games at least. I mean, you know, so, but that's just not how the sport is measured. So, you know, I agree with you, and I'll be in his corner this whole way. But you know, you gotta pick that lock somehow. You gotta find that formula. And you know, it's you know, Boeheim the same way, but he was able to, you know, he was able to do it in a boom or bust fashion because he can recruit anybody, right? So he could be an absolute, you know, lay an absolute egg in the tournament 3-4 years in a row, but then he could take you to the Final Four, you know, because he's recruiting Final Four type talent all the time.
Yep.
That Mike Bray doesn't have that luxury.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Well, it'll be interesting to see how things pan out here. We'll hope for a big Notre Dame win on Saturday that can lead us into some discussions about basketball until whatever bowl we end up in. But in any event, we'll leave it there. You've been listening to Dome Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame sports from a fan's perspective. For Ed Jordanic and Mike Coffey, I'm Mike Brammer. Thanks for listening. Okay, that was a...